Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. Now, this week's Lunch and Learn is going to have a small reflection back to presentation number 46, Lunch and Learn number 46, which talked about staff remuneration, because Charles and I had started working on a matrix that would really help you implement into your practice a very smart system, with a system that you can share with everyone, the whole team, of how people are remunerated and rewarded for great performance. We have now finessed that matrix, the JPPS Staff Remuneration Matrix, and I'm sharing it with you today so you can implement it into your practice. And I'm going to give you a bit of a how-to guide on how to use it as well. But first up, I wanted to just reflect back on all of the crucial elements to your team performance of your staff members that goes into how to remunerate them fairly. So I want to cover off those aspects first, and so you're all in the right mindset to be able to see the value of the matrix. So let's go. We're just going to go back over some previous slides that we've done in the past. And this, again, it was episode number 46 of the club. So critical factors in determining how you pay your staff. What I do find in some practices is that all the nurses get paid exactly the same and all the receptionists get paid exactly the same as well, regardless of the fact that each team member is delivering a slightly different performance. They've had slightly different years of experience within the industry and loyalty at that particular practice. There are many things that go into it, and getting a system down pat for your practice is really going to help you and your team members develop a very fair system all way around. So first of all, the first critical factor, one that everyone takes into consideration, is what is the fair work award rate? And the way I describe the fair work award rate, because again, I come across the thought, the mindset, that as long as we're a little bit above the fair work award rate, we are fairly compensating our staff members. But I want you to just consider what that fair work award rate actually is. This is the bare minimum that you can get away with paying somebody for filling that particular role in your practice without breaking the law. And if you would like to attract somebody that's going to come on board, start working within your practice and deliver the bare minimum performance and not get fired, then pay them the fair work award rate. But most of us, hopefully, want a better performance delivered by staff members that we employ. We want to employ people who are eager to deliver strong performance, deliver strong customer service to our patients, be a great team member, be supportive and encouraging to everybody around them, and want to go above and beyond the strict outlines of their responsibilities. And so if you are trying to appeal to that kind of person to come as part of your team, then let's start going through the other considerations that go into how you fairly remunerate that better performance. So fair work in my brain, because in any dental team that I work with, I really do encourage people to get people who want to be better all the time and are excited about coming to work every day and delivering a strong performance. And so fair work is where we start, and then we just start adding on to after that. And this is where the matrix will help bring structure to that. Responsibilities of the role. Very quickly, if you would like me to go through these, or if you want to go back to episode 46, you'll get a much more detailed explanation of each one of these points. I'm going to go through them quite quickly now. Responsibilities of the role. A classic example is you've got two dental nurses. One dental nurse also does the ordering, so they've got additional responsibilities. Maybe you've got two receptionists, but one of the receptionists also tracks all the key performance indicators or manages the marketing campaign, and so they've got extra responsibilities. And so how many responsibilities does the particular person have in addition to the standard of that role? What skills do they have right now? What skills have they brought to the table that they're displaying in your practice right now? Different people deliver different levels of skills and different amounts of skills. What new skills are needed? So if someone is requiring training to be able to get up to the number of responsibilities that you require for that particular role, then that is reflected in how much they're paid. They'll be paid more once they achieve them all, but if there's training required, then that needs to be reflected in the remuneration package for this particular staff member as well. Attitude. They always say hire on attitude, not on skills, because you can train skills. It's very difficult to shift someone's bad attitude. And if you get a great attitude coming in, they're just going to be adding to your team. Years of experience, not necessarily at your particular location, but how many years experience have they had in the industry, in their role in the industry? Has it been 1 year of reception experience somewhere else, or do they come to you with 15, 20 years experience? An enormous difference in the amount of money that they should be earning for their role and their contribution to your practice. And all of this is around being mindful about how does this particular staff member contribute positively to your practice. How many years loyalty at your practice? With every additional year loyalty a staff member has at your practice, they are increasing the knowledge, the collective knowledge of that practice. And we know these things when we have something that goes wrong, the compressor broke down. Hang on, Sally's been here for 20 years. She knows all about how the compressor works and its little idiosyncrasies. Where is that one little burr? We only ever use it once a year, but where's that long-term staff member that just knows where everything is because they're not just fresh to the table? So years of loyalty at your practice delivers a very strong collective knowledge base into your practice. Team contribution. Are they just a sole worker? Were they just, you know, they might be delivering a fantastically strong performance just by themselves, but do they contribute to the whole team and really embody the team culture that you've got going on within your organization? Do they contribute positively to it? The standard of personal presentation. You may have two equally qualified people. They've been at your practice the same amount of time and they've been in the industry for the same length of time as well, so they've got equal levels of experience. However, we are in a health service and I personally think that personal presentation plays a big role in especially new patients coming in on how much faith and trust they can have in that space that they're going to be delivered strong health service to them. And so personal presentation does play an important role. The level of responsibility. And so you can have 10 dental nurses and they all have equal responsibility. However, there's a senior dental nurse that really is more responsible for the others' performance, and they're the ones that need to be able to catch people out when they're turning up a little bit late or not doing the steri steps properly. And so they've got a deeper level of performance or a higher level of performance. Of responsibility, pardon me. Communication and care of patients. We are very good at hiring people who are very adequate in their communication roles, but every now and again, we get an absolute superstar. Patients love them. They develop strong rapport. They're very caring and thoughtful, and patients leave truly feeling cared for and nurtured by this particular staff member. That deserves compensation. That helps build your practice. So their level of communication and care of patients, that's a very individual characteristic that's very difficult to gauge at the stage of when you're hiring somebody, but they can certainly display that once they're in your organization. Their attendance and reliability. Somebody that is robust in their health and they turn up to work all the time and they rarely take sick days, they're turning up right on time. They're in their uniform, ready to go at 9 o'clock in the morning rather than just driving into the car park at 9 o'clock in the morning. Attendance and reliability, when they are delivering a strong performance in this area, I believe that is an indicator of a great staff member and needs to be compensated for. The staff wages budget. So we need to make sure we can afford. We would love to pay everybody exactly what they would like for their performance. However, we need to make sure the business can afford it and the business remains sustainable regardless of what we're paying our staff. So make sure that your practice has an amount of money, a budget that you know is a percentage of your turnover, which is a great way of determining what that budget is. Make sure you're always staying within that. If there's any bonus structures, I have spoken in the past that I'm not a big fan of bonus structures within an organization where individual team members get a particular bonus paid to them, and that's covered in previous episodes, and you can go into that further and just go into the little search area of the club, your sign-in page, and you'll find information around my feelings around that. But if there is a bonus structure in play, then that is an additional remuneration that needs to be taken into consideration when you're considering how to structure the hourly rate of your team members. Alignment of values. So when you've got people who, if you've got clearly defined values for your practice and you've got team members that resonate strongly with those values, and they are working and dealing with team members and patients in alignment with your values, it is golden, and it really does help deliver a consistent service to your patients. And so the alignment of values is important as well. Accountability. What level of accountability do they have? Do you delegate many tasks to some people and they need to get back to you in a timely fashion that they've followed up on all these bits and pieces? Or are they more in the role of, I deliver my STERI infection control skills, that I'm the STERI nurse, and I rarely get delivered or delegated additional tasks that I need to be accountable for? As opposed to, as well, you know, a practice manager that's responsible for the turnover of the practice and making sure that all the team members are trained up, that each of the providers are delivered key performance indicators so they know where they're going with their performance, and that the overall turnover of the practice is constantly growing. That's a different element of accountability completely. These are some additional considerations that I suggest you look at, because this is what makes an employee really enjoyable to employ. And so when you get to that weekly day that you're paying all the wages, that you pay their wage and you're like thrilled to bits to pay it, because they're contributing so well to your practice. And one of those things is, do they save you time? So therefore they require very little training. Do they train others? The minute you've got a team member that is very active in training others in the systems and processes of the practice, they are in effect increasing the return on investment that you enjoy from that trained staff member. So they're making the existing staff members more highly skilled. So do they train others? Do they attract new business through the way they build their strong relationships with patients? I spoke before about their communication and care of patients. You get those superstars that people, you know, new patients are coming in, and a big part of that is because this one staff member is just dynamic in the way they interact with patients. Do they relieve pressure on you? So can you delegate some of the tasks off your list to them, knowing full well that they are very competent in rolling out these additional tasks? And therefore, you've got more time to either learn and research, or spend time on the business, or go and open up an extra hour in the practice or an extra afternoon in the practice, because you have delegated many of your tasks away, your admin tasks away. Do they reduce the time management spent on them addressing minor issues? Every now and again, you get team members that seem to have a little problem with all sorts of little things, and the amount of time you spend managing their issues or them, because they don't seem to be a self-starter, they're not really highly motivated, so you feel like you have to be constantly boosting up their energy, that takes time and energy from you. So the type that are quite self-sufficient in their performance, that I believe can also be reflected in their hourly rate. So that's going through those considerations. Now let's move on to the JPPS staff remuneration matrix and how you can implement this in your practice as a fantastic smart system of staff remuneration. It's an Excel document, and this is available on download, so you'll be able to get it as a download. And there's two sheets within this Excel document. One of them is the example calculation, so we can play around with it. The second sheet is the one that's blank, that is all there ready for you to populate, and you populate a separate one for every team member. You can then right-click on the calculation sheet and copy it and make one for every staff member. So you can always see on your staff performance reviews what was the case at the last review a year ago and what's the case today. And this is the framework we're going to use, staff member, as to how well you're remunerated if we're going to be giving you a pay rise this year or not, for example. Or if you have regular pay increases at your organization, let's go through this. And because I think there should be, I think every year loyalty that a staff member delivers upon to you is worthy of some sort of pay rise. So let's go to the example sheet. With all of these little purple areas here, that means I've added a note there. For example, award rate. Check online for current minimum award rate for that particular role. So whether it be a receptionist admin role, a dental assistant role, practice management role, and that's where you put what the current award rate is. What it is when I created this matrix was $23.88 for a dental assistant. And then we've got total points. Now, this is a calculation of all of the points we add in throughout this matrix. The next cell is the proposed hourly rate. So this is where there's formulas within all of these matrix, within the matrix itself. So the award rate times by the total points accrued is the proposed hourly rate. And this is a key area, this next cell that I want to talk to you about. This is a key area that you use while you're playing around with it before you present this matrix to the team. Every point in sense. So what is each point that we populate underneath within the grid? What is each of those points worth? I'm going to say 20 cents at the moment, but you can change that to be lower or higher depending on what the eventual hourly rate proposed comes to, and it will then automatically be reflected throughout the rest of the point system. So let me show you what I mean. Again, little purple areas mean there's a note attached. So when I say attitude, what I mean is a desirable attitude for a team member is one where they are respectful to colleagues, have a happy and positive disposition, speak highly of the business, tackle their role with energy and enthusiasm, avoids gossip, helps others, and consistently thinks of ways to improve the business. You can adjust any of those notes to be representative of what's good for your practice, what you find important for your unique practice. Team contribution, for example, a good team contributor is one who is a great support to other team members, cheering them on and helping them execute their role. They are encouraging and help others have a productive and enjoyable day. They share the load and eagerly help out with all tasks. Good team contributors are effective communicators, and the team is better off for their involvement. And there's some more descriptions on what I believe are important, crucial elements to a great team performance, team member performance. Under here, we've got additional characteristics that you can add in yourself. And if you want even more considerations put in there, then just right click and insert additional rows. And they will be, as long as you do that within this text area here, this series of cells here, then that will all be included within your calculations, the formulas that I've set out. If at any point you're going through this, you've got any questions, always know we can jump online together at any time and I can take you through this step by step, one on one. Now let's have a look at the example calculation sheet. Now within the performance, we've got needs work. Now if anybody needs work in a particular area, that means they're not meeting a certain standard, a certain expectation. That means it should accrue 0 points. That means you need to spend time and energy getting that team member up to standard. So they deserve 0 point in those areas. So let's have a look at attitude. Let's say this person, I'm going to take out these twos here. And I'm going to put down, I'll take out all of these little areas here, that this person's got a 0 for attitude. They need help. The next one is team contribution. Now, it's probably going to reflect badly against the attitude. It's not going to be consistent. However, let's just move through this as an example. Let's say team contribution, they're meeting the standard, so therefore they accrue 1 point for that. So if they are satisfactory, then that means they are meeting an expectation that is 1 point. Whenever they go above and beyond and they're better than the average, they're better than what you would normally expect from an average team member, say personal presentation, maybe they've got mastery, so they've got 2 points. That means they're worthy of an additional amount of money in their hourly rate because they have achieved mastery in this space. They set a new standard for others to rise up to. They are delivering a really strong performance. So communication and care of patients, zero. And attendance reliability, they're one on that. And alignment of values, there are two on that. And they complete all the responsibilities of their role, there are one on that. So they're achieving the standard, the expectation there. Let's scroll down a little bit further. And do they possess the required skills for the role? Now, this is crucial when you're getting a trainee on board, or you are doing a new hire and they've come to the party with a certain set of skills, yet to actually meet the standard in your practice, they need additional skills. So maybe additional communication skills or telephone skills that are above and beyond what would normally be expected as standard dental practice. And so do they have the skills required? 1 point for yes, 0 points for no, because if they don't, that means they require that additional care and attention, training and energy put into them in order for them to reach the standard. Do they have additional responsibilities for the role? So they've come in as a dental nurse, but they can also take x-rays as well. So if they've got additional responsibilities for the role than the standard, then they deserve an extra point. It could be the case with the receptionist too. Do they deliver the standard responsibilities? Do they have the skills of the standard responsibilities for a receptionist? Or do they also, on top of that, do key performance indicator tracking for practitioners in the practice that they've done at a previous location? So are they bringing to the table more skills than would normally be required for their role? Now let's go into years of loyalty. So how many completed years has the team member worked at your practice? And this is 2 points for every year. And so if they have worked at your practice for 5 years, that means they've got 10 points attributed to them. And years of experience in the role. So big difference between someone who's been in the industry for many, many years, but not in that role. And they've gone from dental assistant to receptionist. And they've only had one, they've been 10 years in the industry, but 1 year in the role itself. And so if they've been in, for this one, for example, if they've been at your practice for 5 years, let's say they've had 6 years in the industry itself. So therefore that's 12 points. Again, 2 points for every year. Remember, every year someone is doing the same thing over and over again. They're developing mastery. They're finding new, more and better, efficient, more productive ways of doing their role. And so every year they're getting better and better. Additional attributes, and this is where we've got some more descriptors here. Does this team member save you time and relieve pressure on you? Can you delegate tasks to them? We've got covered that a little bit briefly. Yes, they do that. No, they don't do that. Yes, they do that one. So do they train other team members, increasing their return on investment? Are they outstanding in their ability to build strong relationships with patients and so therefore contribute to strong referrals? Does this team member save you time and energy in that they are self-sufficient and a self-starter? Now, after I've populated all these areas, you'll see at the top here, the award rate, still at 2388, they've actually accrued 33 points. And so now the proposed hourly rate for this person is $30.48 per hour. Now, the way I came up with the 20 cents in that area is if we've got somebody that is delivering the required performance in all of their responsibilities, and they're a great team member, so they've got a one in each of these areas as well. And they have the required skills. And it doesn't necessarily matter if they've got additional responsibilities. So if you've got a very good staff member, a very good, solid staff member, And I'm going to put down here that they've been 5 years in the industry and 5 years at your location as well. Then that means that dental assistant, at $23.88, they're turning up on time all the time. They've got great presentation and personal presentation, that they are a very good communicator. You don't feel like they require any additional training in their roles and responsibilities, and they're aligned with your values, they're a good team player, and they certainly complete all their responsibilities of their roles without being prompted. In addition to that, you know, you can delegate stuff to them, and they help train other people, and they're outstanding with their communication skills with patients, etc. So this is a very good employee. And so rather than paying them the award rate of $23.88, they've accrued a total points of 32, and therefore their hourly rate is $30.28 per hour. Let's say they don't have all these additional wonderful characteristics. So maybe they're a self-starter. We like a self-starter. But maybe they don't have that magnificent patient community that's above and beyond mastery. They don't really do all that much in training others, and you're not actually delegating any additional things to them. And that brings it down to $29.68, because their points have come down to 29. So you can see, by assessing all of these characteristics of a staff member, how it's affecting that proposed hourly rate. If you're finding that is too high or too low, and we know inside ourselves how much we really feel that someone's contributing or therefore what they deserve in terms of an hourly rate, this is where you start affecting the number of cents that you attribute to every point. So let's go, instead of 20 cents, let's go with 15 cents. And that then brings their proposed hourly rate down to $28.23. If that's a little bit too low, and 20 cents was even too low, let's go with 30 cents. And then it's boosting it up to $32.58. Now, you can see how this can then play a role in developing a very fair system, and you are judging each of the team members' performance according to the same framework. Remember, you can add and remove any of these areas here just by adjusting the template. And if you require help with that, let me know and we can go one-on-one and do an online session together and go through that to make sure that you've got a template that really works for your practice. I encourage you as well to share this template with the whole team. Why not? Why not show people, if you want to achieve a higher hourly rate, this is exactly how you do it. You improve your attitude. You've got a great attitude, but go above and beyond with your attitude. You are a great team contributor. You meet the standard, but excel, do more. Personal presentation, maybe that was at a zero. This is what you can do in my eyes to improve your personal presentation. So you are meeting a satisfactory or above satisfactory standard here at the practice. You can be a stronger in your attendance and reliability. So, you know, turn up 10 minutes early. So by the time you have changed into your uniform and put your bits and pieces away and got your morning coffee, that it's 9 o'clock. It's not 9:05 that you're starting work. Complete all the responsibilities of your role and help others achieve their responsibilities as well. These are all things that you have direct impact on, and these lower additional attributes as well. Why don't you start training other people in your role? Why don't you start really boosting your communication skills, your listening skills, your rapport building skills, so you can deliver a fantastic and outstanding performance when it comes to patient interaction. And every year when we do a performance review or whatever system that you have, we are automatically going to be reflecting what your level of loyalty to this role is, to this practice is, and how many years you've been in this particular role. So every year that goes up by one. So 6 equals 12 now. 6 equals 12 there as well. And that's now reflected in the proposed hourly rate. If they think, gosh, you know, there's additional elements here that I think I'd like to contribute here, then you can work as a team and develop, further refine this template to reflect what's going on in your practice. So sharing it with your team members gives you the freedom and the authority and the fairness to be able to say to your team members, yes, you all get paid differently because look how you are all different and you're all contributing different degrees of performance. You're all fantastic and you all know how to improve and what you need to do to improve your hourly rate. But this is why there are differences between all of your pay rates, and because I've been open and clear with that, we've got that clarity, we all understand how it's fair, then we can be quite open with what you as a unique person contributing a unique performance to this practice. Now you can fully understand and appreciate why your pay rate is the way it is and what you can do to increase it. So this is the download that's going to be available to you. It'll have the example calculation sheet. Play around with it, mess around with it, and then use the calculation sheet there, the second worksheet, to start to populate it for each of your team members. I hope that you find that a very helpful resource in developing a very smart system for your staff remuneration in your practice. Now, I'll just quickly go on to finish off with the daily focus for this coming week. So the daily focus for this coming week is my encouragement to you to reflect on what characteristics, what behaviors are important for your team members to display within your practice. And so this week's daily focus is take the time to reflect upon the elements of team performance that are important to your practice. Once you have a framework of important characteristics and behaviors, share it with your team so they have the clarity and direction to grow. Also, use the framework in your recruitment of future team members so you are employing the right people for your unique practice. This is what's important to us. Do you fit the bill? If you do, you're welcome in through our doors. Let's all grow and perform well together. Good luck with the JPPS staff remuneration matrix. If you require any assistance with it, please do contact me anytime and we can do a quick one-on-one session. Getting this right for your practice will really help you understand and have faith in the decisions that you're making around team remuneration, and will also put your team members in the picture so they know it's fair and reasonable and they know how to grow their hourly rate should they choose to. Have a fantastic week and I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Thank you. Bye-bye.